So yes, if you have your Bibles, we're continuing in 1 Peter. You might recall last week we spoke about a shipwreck. Well, it was exactly midnight on the 3rd of January 1864 when the Grafton was wrecked on the Auckland Islands, some 400 kilometres south of New Zealand. And we remember we heard about the crew of five, of how they survived for 600 days before being rescued. When they actually hit the rocks in the middle of the night, they stayed on the ship until the morning light, and they made their way to the shore. Captain Musgrove wrote in his journal, "The vessel leaves her bones here, and God only knows whether we are all to leave our bones here also." And then it was simply recorded in the captain's journal, "We all wept." It's quite a picture, isn't it? Five capable and strong men, all of them weeping. And while we may never experience something as extreme as the crew of the Grafton did, or the level of hostility and opposition followers of Jesus, like, for example, Pastor Sukhdev Giri in Nepal, who is currently, today, in hiding because people are trying to kill him because he is preaching the good news of Jesus. No, we may never experience the likes of that. We nevertheless live in a world where suffering is our present suffering. We live in a world where even strong and capable people find themselves so overwhelmed, all they can do is weep. I find it interesting how the Apostle Peter, as he continues to speak into the lives of Christians who are experiencing incredible suffering, inserts not only an acknowledgement of our very human response to suffering, but invites us to allow God into the situation. 1 Peter chapter 5, let me read it for you, verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Anxious feelings, fear, and worry are common responses to suffering, to situations where we feel under pressure. I mean, Jesus warned of people's hearts being weighed down by the anxieties of life. And in talking about this, we also need to acknowledge there is an illness called anxiety disorder where anxious feelings just don't go away when they're ongoing and happen without any particular reason or cause. It's a serious condition where feelings aren't easily controlled and it's hard to cope with daily life. According to Beyond Blue, anxiety is the most common mental health condition in Australia. On average, one in four people will experience anxiety at some stage in their life. So, regardless of where you find yourself today, on what we might call the anxiety spectrum, when you find yourself starting to feel overwhelmed and anxious, there is something the Bible encourages us to do: to cast all your anxiety. Peter is calling us to conscious action, to acknowledge what I'm feeling. I'm a man and I understand that some of us men aren't always in touch with our feelings. But Peter is calling us to acknowledge what I'm feeling, to identify what's causing those feelings and to bundle it up and throw it into God's hands and let Him take it. I've mentioned before, I'm not a fisherman, yes. My father taught me to fish and he loved fishing, and I suspect much to his frustration, I kind of got bored with it. But my dad took me fishing and he taught me how to cast. And all the fishermen here understand, yes, I know exactly how to cast, how you need to hold onto your fishing rod and throw the hook and bait out into the deep or into the place where you suspect the fish will be that you want to catch. But hang on a second. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between fishing and what Peter is talking about here. You see, with fishing, you don't let go. I mean, that's the worst thing you can do. The whole objective of fishing is to catch something. So you hang on to your fishing rod for dear life. I can remember as a child seeing my fishing rod going into the water. I think I grasped the biblical principle at a young age. Yes, with fishing you want to get something back, but when it comes to anxiety, Peter is saying to us, let it go. Let it go. Just throw the lot. Just throw it. The Apostle Paul picked up on this concept. Same concept in Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Paul doesn't say cast it, but he's describing that action. With prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Throw it. Let it go. Give it to God. Speak it out. God, can you take this? Paul brings an interesting dimension into this. The with thanksgiving. This morning we have been singing songs that remind us of who God is in the midst of life, anxiety, suffering, struggle. And we have sung those songs with a thankful heart. That with thanksgiving is, yes, God, I want to thank you and bless you and praise you. I'm thankful for what you've given me. That's a great song of Matt Redman's. Thank you, Peter. Here it is. Casting your anxiety. Interestingly, the most common defense mechanism against anxiety is escapism. Escapism. It was said regarding the early days of the convict era in Australia that the quickest way to escape the colony was through a bottle of rum or a sexual encounter. I suspect those things still continue. The quickest way to escape what we're facing is, what is it for you? The Bible actually takes us in a different direction. It encourages us to go in God's direction. 2 weeks ago, it just wasn't good for me. I was not doing well. Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that? My anxiety levels were actually through the roof. And my mind and my heart were racing. And it was all about the development, the property development. it had started. And I found this a really interesting reaction because, man, like, part of me was excited. We've been on this road for a long time and this is happening. But it was just crazy. I had the craziest of weeks. I mean, the guys were going to take all the dirt and I thought they were going to put it over there, but they put it all here and we've lost car parks and how will we fit people in? And they were going to fence it all off. No, they just put a string around the thing. The kids are going to crawl all over this and the parents are going to kill me. And we asked them to, because the car park was going to be cut off at the driveway here, you know, we asked them to cut a hole in the fence and they cut the hole in the fence, but there was a pipe sticking out and someone's in the middle of the night walking through that is going to run into it and it's going to stab them and you can see some scrappy pieces of paper. I did that. I was just crazy. My mind, it was just, I was going insane. And it hit a climax last Sunday morning. You know nothing about this. It hit a climax last Sunday morning. I'm thinking, oh, good grief. Oh, how's everyone going to get in? And forgetting full well that and I'm saying, oh, no, that's right. Sorry, it went like this. I was primarily concerned last Sunday morning that someone would park in the footpath where they cut the fence, and so people couldn't actually see where to go, and I'm thinking, oh, Johnny's always here, Pastor Johnny's always here really early, I need to send him a message really, say, can you make sure no one parks in there? And I'm going, oh, Kevin, hang on a second, what are you doing? Because they said they were going to move the fence. And they did, so we could use the driveway. And this was going on, and the devil was just having a delightful time with me. And he's just pushing buttons, pushing. Because, and I'm just random. My head is going random, crazy. Yes, I was a little crazy. More than usual, some of you want me to say. Yes, I know. I could see that in the body language. And God's just saying, oh, come on. Start casting. Man, my arm is sore from casting. I was casting. And Kerry said at one stage, are you okay? And I said, you know, and she quoted this scripture. I said, yeah, I'm casting. Don't you worry about it. I'm casting. And it was just going. It was constant. And I found myself, yes, here it is. Lord, there's nothing I can do. There is nothing I can do except give this to you. I give it over to you. Yes, Peter's encouraging us to cast all our anxiety on him, on God. But why God? Why cast your anxiety on God? Well, because he's a safe pair of hands. Now, there's something we need to be very, very clear about here. The Bible never calls us to blind faith. It never calls us to blind faith. It encourages us to have faith in God, to trust him. And it gives us good reasons why we can do that with confidence. Look, for example, in how Jesus handled this issue in Matthew chapter 6. It's really interesting. Like, it's in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:25, and Jesus begins, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Now, there's a common theme through all this. It's really interesting. Verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? What's he saying here? Okay, you're worried about the reality and the circumstances of life, but hang on a second. look at the birds. God looks after them. Who will look after you? Who is God? What is he like? Again, he says, well, do you worry about clothes? And he says, well, Solomon, this famous king of Israel's history, he was clothed in all these, you know, just immaculately. Verse 30, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. This is a really interesting statement. You of little faith. We so often interpret that whenever we hear it, say, yes, yes, I've got to somehow get on my faith bike and start pedaling hard, you know, sort of thing, and so I can get my faith levels up. You of little faith is a declaration of ignorance. Don't you understand? That's what Jesus is saying. Don't you understand who God is? He's the one who looks after you. Again, he speaks of, in verse 32, your Father, your heavenly Father, knows that you need them all. This is who God is. This is he's encouraging us to understand who God is, to know who God is. It's not some blind faith, it's faith in God. And we have good reasons to put our faith in God because he is faithful. He is faithful. Having encouraged the Philippians to go in God's direction with their anxiety, Paul also reminds them of who God is. He speaks of, in Philippians chapter 4, of the peace of God. Now, the peace of God, can I say, is not some existential feeling, but we find it emerging out of the history, out of the Old Testament, this sense of the peace of God is the opposite to the cursing of God. It's the embodiment of all the blessing of God being poured out. It's not the absence of hostility. It's not the absence of feelings of agitation. It is the blessing of God. All that God is being poured out. It's this settledness of heart and mind that comes from knowing who God is and that he has promised to be with us and give to us all that we need. It's that resting in knowing that our Heavenly Father is good. He is full of grace and mercy. He does not change. And that's what Peter is doing here. He calls us to stop and go in God's direction, to cast all our anxieties on him, but not without giving us good reasons why we can confidently do that. He speaks of God's mighty hand. This is language that was so much part of ancient Israel's history. We find it in the Old Testament and the mighty hand of God. You know, there was a battle to be fought. And how did this get resolved? Because God was there. He was present. His mighty hand was active on their behalf. This language, the mighty hand of God, is language that encompasses the strength and power and authority of God. God acting on our behalf. The hand of God was with us. Whoa, we can go forward. Read it. Think about it throughout the Bible. Who is God? He is the one who is strong and powerful and mighty. And his hand is with us. Peter speaks of God who is able to lift you up in due time. The notion of suffering and struggling, feeling anxiety, of course, is the images of being crushed. of being faint-hearted, of being burdened and pushed down. But this is interesting language here. We who live in a world where suffering is a present reality, as Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. God, who is God? He is the one who is able to lift you up. In due time. It's an interesting reminder that God works out his purposes according to his time, his plan. A day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day with God. God is out of time. God is not time bound. And the reality is, in the midst of suffering, of course, you wouldn't be a human being if you did not want it to stop as quickly as possible. That's understandable. But here it is. God is saying, I'm the one who's able to lift you up out of this situation in due time, the right time. You know, due time, the library, your book is due back. University, your assignment is due here. A project at work, when is it due? So this is God's the one in control of the due date. That's the picture here. And knowing he is good. And here are four of the most precious words in Scripture. He cares for you. Just let the truth and power of God's word just to seep into your soul right now. He cares for you. I mean, we can easily find ourselves in the circumstances of life wondering whether anyone actually cares for us. People have those experiences, and I have no doubt there are people sitting here this morning who have wondered whether in fact anyone actually cares for them. But the truth, the power, the authority of God's very word is God cares for you. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are on your journey towards God or your journey with God. God cares for you. This again is revolutionary language. We need to understand that the gods of the first century were not the gods who actually, they didn't care. They just didn't care. Yes, they existed. Yes, in some of them they were active and they were involved, but they basically just don't care. And here Peter is in revolutionary language reminding people God cares for them. God cares for you. The story is told of a traveller who was carrying a heavy pack. That's backpacking. And he was, after he got over that hill there, he was walking along a road, and a guy came along in a truck and saw him carrying his heavy load and stopped and said, let me give you a lift. Hop on the back of the truck. And so he hops up on the back of the truck, but he's still got his pack on his back, sitting there, and he's holding it. And the driver says, look, mate, take your pack off. To which the traveller says, look, you've been good enough to give me a lift. I can't ask you to take my load as well. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. You want to speak it out? Let's say it together. cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Okay, so we're going to do some casting now. So just get your hands there and start putting some stuff in it. What's causing you anxiety? As we live in this broken world, this struggling world, I want you to start identifying some stuff here. Put it in. Just put it in. Just put it there. And just grab it all and get it into a good ball, you know, a good solid ball that you can throw. And let's throw it. Come on, just throw it. God, we need it. We can do participation here. It's okay. And maybe you need to keep throwing here a bit. Maybe there's big, you know, but just whatever it is here this morning, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Peter is speaking to people. Remember how we began thinking about this letter? People who were actually facing the reality of death. Peter himself facing the reality of death in the Roman arenas. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Father, I thank you for the power, the truth, the light of your word. Thank you for the reminder of who you are, God, that you are mighty. You are able to save. Our God is strong. Our God is present. Our Heavenly Father cares for us. You are the God of grace who pours out mercy. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would flood us afresh with an understanding of who you are. Oh, deliver us from small, small thinking about you. Open our eyes that we would see you in your glory, your majesty, your power, your greatness, your love and gentleness. That you are trustworthy. Yes, Lord, we do acknowledge the reality of our world. This world full of trouble. This world full of pressure. This world that we so often react to in anxiety. Feelings of struggle and worry. But Lord, we thank you that you are God and have it all. Sure, doesn't mean it gets sorted out. Doesn't mean it disappears in 2 seconds. Lord, you're the one in control. And we want to simply say, we trust you. Yes, Lord, we trust you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.